Next on News for the Soul, My Way Om with Robin. Robin is a mind-body connection healing arts practitioner and consultant, specializing in the nervous system, emotional regulation, and intuitive coaching. She's a passionate advocate for holistic wellness and the body's ability to heal. Her personal pivotal experience includes healing a marathon training injury whilst running the actual marathon and holistically healing her own thyroid disease. Please welcome Robin back to News for the Soul.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Robin. Welcome to My Way Om with Robin. I'm very happy to be here today, and thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Catalina Rivera-Doez. She is so many things, so many wonderful things, and so many wonderful things to me, and I'm very happy to have her on today. She is an ordained priestess, keeper of our Blood Mysteries Temple, an eco-ceremonialist, and in my opinion, one of the greatest healers. And Catalina, I'm very happy to have you here. How are you today?
Hi, Robin. Well, it's a pleasure to be here and to connect with Soulful Community. So I am very well and happy today.
Excellent, excellent. So let's see where the conversation takes us, but I had sort of an idea that we could really get into how we come to understand soul and self through energy and ancient wisdom. And I think you're just kind of such a wonderful person to have this conversation with, because I feel like you are one of the most multidimensional people I know. So let's jump in.
Sure.
I'm so wondering, can you tell us about if there's one experience or a few experiences, or how did you first come to understand your multidimensionality? What has that been like and looked like for you over the course of your life?
Yeah. Well, I think like for many of us, you know, it's a more than one moment. It's a process, an unfolding that has like many moments that kind of catapult us into deeper connection and, you know, wider expansiveness. So throughout my life, I would say there have been some pivotal experiences that have definitely, again, kind of trampolined me into a deeper understanding of soul and self and multidimensionality. It started as we met with my first training in Reiki when I was 16 years old. I was part of my first Gnostic group and was exploring spirituality, and then learning about Reiki through my mom, who was sick, really opened up this new world of energy at a very young age when I was, you know, exploring the world. And Reiki gave me this first, like, experiential connection with the world of energy beyond the mind, beyond theories, but an actual embodied experience of energy, of healing and energy work. So that was like the first step. And then I spent, many years diving into the healing of the energy body and the different, you know, chakras and all our energy system, which was beautiful. And then came kind of a plateau and the feeling that there was so much more out there, but I just couldn't quite get to the next place. And that's where shamanism and actually working with plant medicines came in. It landed in my world out of left field, not something I had necessarily planned on doing, but as, you know, the mystery unfolds through us, I was guided into this work with ayahuasca over like an 8-year period of time that really opened my perception and the depth of my experience of the subtle realms, as well as connecting me much more deeply with nature, sun, moon, stars, the earth, etc. So that was another pivotal experience of having this, also again, deeply embodied experience of spirit in form, really opened things up for me. And then again, as you will all probably experience as well, there comes a plateau. It's like, okay, I've learned this and there's more to explore, and yet the feeling, there's always been this feeling of there's something more. So from there, I opened up once again to see what life would bring into my field, and that's where I came upon priestess training, which was another completely different way of working. So I dove into working with the archetypes of the divine feminine, and that these have all been kind of incremental experiences of bringing me deeper. And working with the feminine archetypes in the 13 Moon Mystery School and then entering into priestess training, that's when the true experience of multidimensionality and an even deeper understanding of my own essence and what soul is and the soul of the earth and the elements and life really began to flourish. And it was within that priestess training that I came into the Blood Mysteries. And this is kind of where I've landed and when I found my home. And this, it has all the experience I've had, really connecting to the Blood Mysteries, the magic that we hold within our bodies as women, has been what has most profoundly impacted me and brought me into this, again, embodied awareness of my essence in form and our connection in oneness to all life. So, yeah, those have been like the pivotal experiences.
So beautiful. So, So I want to back up and come forward again, but, you know, let's go back to Reiki since that was sort of first for you. And I just wonder if you can explain to us how, you know, what energy, what the experience working with that energy kind of felt like or looked like or how it colored you or what it was in contrast to this 3D experience. If you could talk a little bit about the sort of duality of understanding how energy works, working with it, and sort of growing up in the world and what that was like and sort of how you came to embrace being both or being all things together at once and embodying that.
Okay. Reiki, how do I approach this? So this was the first time, I mean, I come from like an engineer father and was at this point in my life very kind of mind-oriented and very mental. So this was the first kind of break into it, through the mind into something beyond the mind of, again, feeling physically in my body, currents, heat, sensations that were kind of beyond explanation. I still remember the first time that I was like, okay, this is real. I was actually in university. I had a huge calculus test that was missing one of the parts of training. And I didn't know this, but because I wasn't in class, they were practicing sending long distance Reiki. So they decided to send me long distance Reiki while I was doing my test. And I was sitting there knowing this. And then all of a sudden, I could feel like this calm wash over me and like the sense of support and clarity, right, that held me throughout that test, an experience I'd never had in calculus because at that point, that was like the top of my mathematical thinking. I couldn't get beyond it. And it just struck me when I finished the test. I called my mom, right, just to let her know I was out. And then she told me, and I was like, oh, like this is what was happening. And yeah, Reiki didn't put information into my mind that I didn't have, poured into me so that what was there could really come out in a clear, precise, and calm way. And that was when I was like, okay, this needs to be explored. And from there, I continued to have multiple experiences of this. And again, this is the part that is really important with energy, especially when you're starting off. You think it's a concept, it's like a thought or a belief, but the reality is energy is real and it's felt in the body and you can see it, and you can see the effects of it. And that's what propels us, right, and brings us deeper beyond what's the mind or just a blind belief into a felt reality and a deep transformational experience. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stories of ways in which energy has colored me, but that's kind of what started it. It was this kind of wedge into, oh, you don't know everything. There is more here to experience. Can you just loosen your mind a little bit more and see where this takes you? So, yeah.
I love how you said current. And when I was listening to describe it, I was thinking of the word current throughout the explanation. And it kind of got me thinking, too, that you could have, like, the current, like, fear has a current. And, you know, connecting to all that is has a current. And I wonder if in that moment you were, you know, because so many people were focused on you, that you were tapped into that field of connectedness, and that gave you sort of the calm and like that current won out, you know, kind of like had like a more dominant expression in your body. But you're, you know, that's just sort of how I am like interpreting what you're saying, because I feel like you're right, like that the mind, it works so differently than the expansiveness of how energy comes through the whole self and from something so much greater than what the mind can produce or in conjunction with, is sort of how I see it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all is frequency. But the reality is all is frequency. Like our body has a frequency, the mind has a frequency, it all has a frequency. And ultimately, when you dive into energy medicine or energy healing or anything energy related, what you're doing is becoming adept at navigating those different frequencies and learning like where you want to plug in, because all these frequencies are alive in all of us at any given point. Like all of us have fear and have anger and have mind and have body and have spirit and have all these different dimensions and possibilities of where we can kind of anchor our consciousness in. So in that kind of moment of the test, what in terms of like the energy explanation is there, yeah, that influx, right? It's like a Reiki is a current. It's a current of intelligent and conscious life energy that flows that is beyond time and space, that can be sent at a distance, and that kind of enveloped me and supported me so I could attune myself with like the highest version of myself to approach that situation.
So beautiful. And I know that, you know, because I've experienced elemental work with you, I know that in similar ways, you have a connection to or an understanding of the elements.
Yeah.
That I think is so beautiful and so connected to, you know, your expansiveness and your understanding of wisdom and you know, all that is in the earth and how we can kind of tap into that and become all that is too. And can you tell us about that, like your connection to or how you've come to learn and be with the current and the frequency of the elements? Can you tell us what, you know, what are the elements and how do you incorporate them into your work and your life?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is beautiful work. Yeah. So the first thing to understand is that elements, at least I know before, like when I would think about elements or see them like in magic or in ritual, there was kind of this sensation of kind of just inertness of it, just like carbon, right? Like a block of something. Right. And the reality is that the elements, first of all, they're consciousness and they're alive and they're full of vitality. So when we're connecting to elements, we're not just connecting to a thing or a concept. We are actually connecting to a very specific consciousness, right? And the elements are kind of composed or, you know, formed by elementals, which are like, it's like the, if you think of it like the molecules or the atoms, like the smallest portion of consciousness that still holds the frequency of Earth or air or fire or water, but they are very much kind of alive and vital and unfolding. And it's just like you, as a human, can have a relationship with a deity or an ascended master, right, or Jesus or Mother Mary, you can have a relationship with the elemental beings and with the elementals themselves. And that's where the power comes, where we're no longer, you know, relating with something that's abstract, but there's an intimacy in that relationship. And there's deep intimacy because we are formed by those elementals. So I still remember the moment where that connection was forged in me. I was in deep within, in an altered state, within a meditation. I was, again, deep in this archetypal work with the archetype of the primordial goddess, so the primal goddess, which is our connection to the instinctual realms, to the earth, right? to our animal body. And I could literally see the schism in me of where I separate, as so many of us have separated from the elemental world because of the witch wound, because as mystics or as feminine beings or as, you know, beings that have seen beyond what most people see, we've been wounded for having those connections in the past, and we've created like a separation as a protection from that. So in that moment, I could see the wound, and I could see that it was no longer true. And the longing within me, as I know it is within so many of us, to have once again that intimate connection with the earth, with the elemental beings, with the animals. And in that moment, I could see the elementals within the glass of water. I could see the elementals in the flame, and they slowly started just to come back into my body and awaken the elementals that were already within me, because they are part of us. They're not separate, like the earth, the air, the fire, the water. They are in no way separate from us. They are components of our bodies and of our energy fields. And in that awakening, again, came this, and this is, you're going to hear me say it again and again, there's this embodied experience of that reality. And that's what changes things, because it's no longer a concept outside of ourselves. We're no longer separate from it. We are that. And then as we see it in self, we can see it outside of ourselves. So the moment we truly connect with a water elemental or a fire elemental and you feel it in your body and they're alive within you, you can connect to the elementals, you know, in the trees and in the plants and in the earth and in the wind. The whole world becomes alive. And that's one of the reasons why working with the elementals themselves to me is primordial, because it's the basis. Once you have that connection, once you experience that and start to work with them from this, again, intimate kind of in this intimate and co-creative way, then all creation comes alive. And that same relationship is available with all beings.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful. Is there something, you know, like kind of how you talked about the calculus test, is there some kind of 3D experience outside of this meditation that you described that, you know, kind of integrated you in ways that, I don't know, I'm trying to get at, listen, because so here we are walking this earth and, you know you're a mother, I'm a mother. There's so many aspects of our life that are rooted in the 3D reality. And then it's sort of like, oh, and I'm multidimensional. Oh, here I am having that like awesome multidimensional experience. So is there something in your day-to-day or something in your ordinary that kind of, you know, where you join forces and get these reminders or this swell of affirmation and confirmation, anything, you know, recent or something you can think of?
Well, the thing is that the more you dive into this kind of work, the more you start to realize that there really is no separation, right? There is no, again, sitting to meditate, and then that's the only moment that my spiritual self or my connection to the elements is alive. Like, and this is where, again, the feminine mysteries and the descent of the soul is so important, because when you make that journey, then everything becomes sacred and you are having this multiple dimensional experiences in everyday life. I've had the most profound healings driving in my car, because again, I'm a mom. For those that, most of you don't know me, but yes, I have my temple and I have my sacred work, but I'm also a mother of two, still young children. I am a wife, you know, I do open water swimming, like I'm a, you know, modern day woman navigating the world, just like every single one of you. And as any mother of, you know, young children will know, the amount of time you have is not usually abundant, right? So as we dive in, we begin to realize we can sustain all these layers of consciousness simultaneously. Like, you can have like deep, profound healing while you're driving your kids to school. You can have like moments of profound inspiration and realization while washing the dishes. It becomes integrated, and the mundane everyday things become inextricably linked to the inner work that you're doing. There is no separation. But let's see. I mean, you want everyday examples.
I think you said it. I mean, I agree completely. And I think that's just, you know, it's like, it's so true and so funny, and the lightness and the hilarity of the, you know, driving on the way to school or at a traffic light or at the sink aspect of this is absolutely real. Absolutely. So it's exciting when it's sort of like in a meditation or with people who are sort of bringing you into deeper, broader perspectives, but it's also affirming when you are loading the dishwasher and, you know, it's happening, you know, you're kind of feeling that expansion and connection to everything in those moments too. So yeah, it's great to hear you affirm that.
Yeah. There's a place, there's absolutely a place for community, but there's also this, I think this is where we are collectively, where we are really coming home to the reality that everything's already within us and we are unfolding. And if we can just surrender to that, again, life becomes magical, right? And it's continuously happening. And if we just open our eyes, like I this is, again, why I love this work so much, because my life has become so magical, like, and it's in those in-between moments. It's like I'm thinking of something and an eagle lands in my backyard, right? Or I'm driving my kids to school and a hawk just kind of lands right next to the car, right? Or, you know, I'm, you know, the movies that pop up on my Netflix, right? I've had so many feelings with Netflix, like where I'm working with something and then all of a sudden I'm watching a series and the exact kind of quality or archetype I'm working for is being portrayed by the actor. And then Netflix becomes the healing agent, right? Because it's no longer just me evading reality, is I'm consciously imprinting myself with this frequency that I long for in my life, right? And so then everything becomes, you know, a tool of healing, because ultimately everything is energy and everything is the mystery and everything's continuously, you know, talking with us and, you know, interacting with us. So, yeah, it becomes like right now there's a hawk right up outside my window as I'm speaking to you about this. Like, this is what happens continuously.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love that. I love that. And it's true. And, you said that so beautifully. Yeah. And being open to it and seeing that it's like one big connected conversation, it's so relieving, because when you're alone in your thoughts, you know, that can be more daunting. That's not as freeing and expansive. That's more constricting.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I do a lot in my work, and that happens, you know, through these dives in, is, and why it becomes so empowering, because yes, we start in these healing circles or containers of archetypal work or ceremony. But as we anchor those experiences and begin to open up, then there is no separation. And then you begin to have these continuous affirmations, right? It's not, again, it's not blind faith. You're continuously being shown, hey, I'm here. Yes, you're on the right path. Yes, I'm watching over. Yes, you're supported, right? It's something that happens not even just once a day, multiple times a day. You begin to perceive these, you know, synchronicities and messages and moments that are holding you. So life begins to feel less daunting, because let's be real, like being in human form is hard. Navigating modern day life can be excruciating, right? And we need that sense of very real support that we are not alone and that we are being held and that there's a bigger picture unfolding and a bigger current that's carrying us forth.
Yeah, and that buoyed, buoyant floating along is like how you kind of lean into the expansiveness of everything or the connectedness of all. You know, no matter the rapidness of the water, you can still get carried along in a really light, floaty way. Or you can fall in. I've done both. I still think I'm doing both sometimes.
Well, we all do. Let's be honest. Like, we all do it all, right? And that's okay. That's being a divine human is all about. But what you say is really true. I mean, I've been an explorer of the mystical and the practical and all kinds of lineages and pathways and techniques. And what I've come back to, like, if there's like one quality, like one thing I come back to again and again, it's surrender.
If
in doubt, can I just surrender? And to be clear, you know, surrender is not a passive state. Surrender is the active state of tuning into the divine impulses that are arising through you, right? that's what you're surrendering into. You're surrendering into your essence. You're surrendering into Mother, into the mystery, into the divine. Can you just let that current, you know, carry you?
Beautiful. I love how you said that. It's true. Yeah, surrender is very active. Oof. It's so true. So you have all this energy work, and I know you've got this, you know, real connection to the elementals and earth and all the wisdom, you know, right there. But, you know, the blood mysteries, I know that's your big love. And can you tell us how that found you and how you've made your way in and what you've built that into? And explain for us what that is and how, you know, our womb is so sacred and your... just how you see it, because the way you describe it is so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I discovered this, as most things are discovered, in like a dark night of the soul, a complete winter of my life where absolutely everything was falling apart. We've all had these moments, right? Where marriage was falling apart, my work was falling apart, my finances, like everything was just, it was like in a deep, deep hole. Yeah, and from the biggest darkness, the biggest light emerges. So I it was like most things, just kind of serendipitous. For those of you that you don't know me, I also have a background in nurse midwifery. I was trained as a nurse midwife and worked for over a decade in labor and delivery and women's health. And something came across my field. It was like a test or something, that a quiz about menstruation. And it had an item there that said, like, of all the options, like, I love my menstruation. I drink my moon blood every month. And I took it as a joke, right? The first moment I read it, like, it was just like something, like, it was just a joke. And then I started questioning, was like, wait, do people actually do that? And if they did, like, what would be the benefits of that? From that kind of question, I began to really question like what I actually knew about the womb and menstruation and womb blood. Again, as a nurse midwife, as an L&D nurse, like I thought, and somebody has been in women's spirituality like for years at this point, I thought I knew everything there needed to be known about the womb and blood, and I realized that I knew nothing, and that when this started many, many years ago, that there was also nothing out there. There wasn't a lot of research. There wasn't a lot of information at all. And I started having these remembrances of women's rights and women's rights surrounding the womb and women's rights surrounding our blood and the ways in which our blood has been used in ceremony. And remembrances of, there's also the stories that are held collectively of creational myths, of the way womb blood has been woven into Tantra and, all these other areas. I started kind of having these trickles of like the stories of the Holy Grail and the Cauldron of Life and the Fountain of Life and the Cauldron of Rebirth. And so there were all these kind of concepts that started trickling in. And I said, this needs to be like, I want to know this. There's something calling me deeper. And the only way to actually, because there's no information, the only way to do this is to source from within. And that was in Teresa's training. So I was like, okay, let's just become a mystical scientist and see what this is about. Like, what would happen if? Right? All these things I'm remembering I actually do. So I got my first moon cup. I just had my second child. I was so excited to get my first period after, 18 months of breastfeeding. Collected my blood for the first time in a moon cup. And I remember having that experience of, for the first time ever, like there wasn't enough of it. Like there were so many things I wanted to do with it and I wanted to explore, and there just wasn't enough of it. And from that very first cycle, I just dove into a few of the menstrual rites I remembered, and the results were so powerful that there was no looking back. Like, it was the first time I drank moon blood diluted, I got stopped like 3 or 4 times and asked if I was pregnant because I was glowing. Then when the first time I drank undiluted, I spent all night in this deep altered state of consciousness where fireworks were going off all over my body and I could feel myself being rewired. And then all of a sudden, just like you do with an ayahuasca journey or the medicine journey, I was starting to have deep visions and deeper experiences and a deeper connection. When I brought my moon blood to the earth, I could actually feel the connection, right? This, I remember always having this longing. I would look at indigenous people and I could see like the deep connection they have to the land and to the trees. And I knew it was possible, and yet I couldn't quite get myself there as much as I try, even after, you know, years of energy work and all kinds of techniques. I continued to feel like there was something missing. And it was only after starting working with my moon blood in this very intimate and powerful way that I started having all these experiences of actually being one with the land, of actually being one with the trees, of being connected to everything through my roots and through my cores, of seeing the threads that connect us and weave us together. So our womb blood is just like, you know, the Amazon has the ayahuasca and Africa has the boga and the Native Americans have peyote. As women, we have moon blood, and it has the power to transport us. Our menstrual journeys were the first shamanic journeys. And when we learn to lean in, we actually have all the resources we need to commune directly with all of the energies, with all of the fields, with all of the beings, with all of the dimensions, and catalyze our unfolding and fully landing in our own magic. So it's the ultimate liberation and independent sovereignty movement is coming back into the womb.
Wow. How do you do that? What's your process each month?
Okay, so the first caveat here, though, is that this work is gorgeous and beautiful and full of magic and potential, and it really should not be attempted alone. Just like you wouldn't go and, you know, try ayahuasca by yourself in the middle of your back, you know, your backyard forest, like, because as full of magic as our womb is, it is also the place that holds the deepest wounding as women. So it's a place to dive into with much care and compassion and support. This has been an area that has not been safe for a very long time. So if not approached in the right way, it can be re-traumatizing, right? So what is definitely safe to start doing, if anybody wants to start diving in and getting a feel for this, I would really encourage you to I have a free download that walks you through offering your moon blood to the earth and how to collect it and to offer it in a really empowering and beautiful way. So like that would be a completely safe way to kind of start dipping your toes in. But anybody really feeling the call deeper into the womb, I would highly encourage you to join me in one of the deeper temple experiences so that you're fully held in the discovery of your magic, because even when you are fully like on board, it's amazing what arises. And this is also why it's so powerful. Like I still remember the first time it was as simple as putting my moon blood on the altar. That's all I did. It was like, okay, I'm going to put a little bit of my moon blood on my altar. And again, at this point, I'm like fully on board. Like, this is my mission. I'm going to discover what all this is about. I've been in labor and delivery and women's health, and like I've been like elbow deep in blood for years. Like, I have no issues there. I've been part of women's circles. I've been immersed in feminine spirituality. At this point of my life, of my journey, I feel like I got it. Like, I got it all. I'm good, right? Mm-hmm. And even from this place where I was starting, the moment I put my moon blood on that altar, the amount of subconscious programming that came out was terrifying. Terrifying. I could hear these voices just coming out from inside of me of like, you're opening portals of evil, you're calling in demons, right? You're going to curse your family. Like, all this stuff that wasn't even in my voice, right, that I did not believe, but that was held deep within me because we've been so programmed, right, of the vileness, the shame, the toxicity, the evilness of being feminine and women, and it's all centered around blood, that even when your conscious mind is like fully like, no, like, I'm over this. I can assure you there's a whole iceberg beneath you full of all the other stuff that has been accumulated over generations. So you want to make sure, because if not, it can be really hard, right? I've had women, you know, properly held, you know, engaging in sangria and again having life-changing experiences. And then women that decide to go on their own and do it, and then they, you know, they're purging and having all this fear come up. And then because they're not supported, it reinforces the idea that this is wrong, where that's not actually what's happening. What's happening is there's a lot of unprocessed stuff that needs to get through before you step into that stage, right?
So, and it is generational stuff too, right? It is ancestral clearing that is coming up.
There is so much. There's so many layers. There's not only anything you've absorbed unconsciously from being in society, your lifetime. There is everything in your lineage. There's everything you're carrying as a soul from all the times you've been both men and women and the beliefs you've held. And then there's the collective field, right? Because, I've gone through this spiral and I've, you know, process this, you know, so many times. And yet because I'm part of the collective field, every time I open a circle or open a program, like there is a huge amount that just comes in to be worked, because for as long as these beliefs and these wounds are part of our collective, we're all part of healing those and transmuting them. So there's always something to dive into. And again, the womb and our blood are connected to our lineage. If this is lineage work, you can't dive into the womb and your blood without opening up lineage healing eventually. Now, if you do it, you know, lovingly and tenderly, it's a process so that it's done safely and it's done at your own pace, so it doesn't become overwhelming, right? That definitely opens up, which is, you know, a lot of work, and at the same time, it's a huge gift because you become the healing and the gift of your lineage. And then there's this whole avenue, again, of support that we're talking about, our multidimensionality. This is another dimension of our being, is our lineage, right? Who stands behind us, right? And our blood mysteries really do connect us all the way back to first woman and all that have come before us, and allow us to heal those pathways and also receive the support that comes from those pathways.
It's so beautiful. It almost like it's like my heart, I feel like a swell in my heart when I listen to you describe it, because it's something I know, it's an aspect of your work that I know is yours. It's just nothing I've ever tapped into. And you said something earlier that, you know, I kind of feel resonates with me, and I laugh a little because it's like sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I'm at a plateau, but sometimes I feel like, you know, I've got a child, and if I keep going deeper and deeper, I'm not sure I can keep doing the regular stuff I need to do. You know, I say that sort of in jest, but there's something so beautiful and profound about the way you just described this work, and also a little sad in terms of, like, you know, and I want to dive into this more around, like, just this wave of ascension that we're going through and how everybody's kind of tapping in or finding their way forward in an exponential way through healing and through their understanding of what's happening right now, whether they're seeing it in terms of frequency or healing physical health or just like, you know, like just opening up to different perspectives or new perspectives or entering into different relationships or conversations, however the books are falling off the shelves. But it does feel, I guess when I hear you talk, I feel too the hurt and the pain and the, you know, the confusion around divine masculine, divine feminine, and how, you know, like what womanhood, like from like a really beautiful, ancient, like powerful perspective is, and like how women are sort of like just not even tapped into the expansion of that, or like it doesn't even feel like, you know, like for me personally, like could I ever like just really embody and embrace in this beautiful way? Like, it, you know, the journey's been so you know, I feel the healing and the work that I've had to do, but I also feel like there's, you know, there's so much more for me personally to unfold. And I hear you describe this and I feel a little pain too, in terms of like, I don't even know where this road is or how to travel it or, you know, so I love how you talk about how, you know, support and how you bring support and bring community here, because it feels like it feels absent from life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
If we're not in your corner of the world.
Yeah. And I feel that pain and that need with you. Because the reality is that, yeah, we, again, it's not easy to be in human form. And it's not easy to be on a spiritual journey, right? It's a path of courage and strength and deep love. And the reason that I so love and have the blood mysteries and this lineage, which again is a birthright for all beings, we're all connected through our blood, right? Is
yeah.
that it's brought me that missing piece, because the reality is that if we don't feel safe, right? If we don't feel supported, if we don't feel nourished, we cannot do it, right? Like so much of, yes, there's so much going on. There's so many ways in which you can, you know, kind of tackle your spiritual journey. And yet the reality is that we're, as a collective, we're missing our base, right?
Yeah.
Talk about ascension if we've never truly incarnated. Like how many people walking around today are actually in their body? How many people are actually body essence, right? And that's the whole point. Like we incarnated so that our essence, our spirit, our light could be in form. And yet we're continuously trying to step out of form. And why? Understandably so, because being in a human body is painful, because there is this, you know, there is this iceberg of beneath us, of a mountain of unprocessed grief and wounds and sadness, and some of it's ours and some of it's lineage and so much of it is collective. Our very earth, you know, has a pain body and we're connected to all of it, right? And yet we're at the point where we need to do that journey. And the beauty of it, and this is where the Blood of Mysteries comes in so strongly for me, is that you realize you don't have to do it alone. The amount, diving into the womb, diving into your body, diving into the body of the earth, again, it's so big, the work that's there, that it's impossible for one person to do it alone. If you try to do it alone, you're just going to become overwhelmed or dissociated because it's just too much, right? And this is where spaces like the Blood Mysteries Temple or and others that other women are creating around the world, right, allow us to fully anchor that sense of safety and community and allow a bigger force to come in. And this is one of the things that has really shifted things for me in my own work, is the realization that I don't have to do it alone, right? As we open our wounds and actually allow that the archetype, the larger force of Divine Mother to flow through us, right, and we realize we are a portal for that current into the world, then we realize our only job is to hold the portal open. Like all that negredo, all that shadow, all that wounding, yes, we're going to feel it, but it's not our job to heal it all on our own. Like we can just feel it, hold it, and just kind of allow this larger force to come in and transmute it for us. And then it becomes doable. It becomes manageable, right? Even in our, you know, 3D life with our children and our jobs and everything else. So if there's one message I would love everyone to hear is this, and begin to shift from this paradigm of I've got to do it alone, right, to you don't. Like you are so held beyond your wildest imaginations, and your true task is simply opening to receive that support. Okay? Can you have the courage to lean in instead of out and actually find that support, that safety, that nourishment that you long for is actually within you and has been forever?
Yeah, it's so beautiful. the word current just keeps coming up for me in terms of like being in flow and in that connectivity. It's got to just kind of pass right through you. You can't hold it. You know, it's in the disconnection that we hold something that isn't ours or is too heavy or, is it meant to stay? And I think that, with blood, it's, the oxygen is in the blood, the cells are in the blood, like an understanding of the human body, but also I think the move toward understanding the human body through the quantum lens for me really kind of connects all of this ancient wisdom and what people who understand that we are all a part of something and connected to all that is have understood for generations and generations. It's a little bit, it's maybe frustrating for you who's been understanding this for so long, or, for me, I've always kind of had this like spiritual understanding, but sometimes it feels like it's only really understood or accepted when there's like, medical terminology, or like a medical way of a scientific way. But I do think that a lot of what you are saying is converging with the quantum mindset of, like it's just the water in you and the blood in you, the cells in you, the oxygen in you, like the blood is the river, the blood, like there's really a lot that I think I feel so hopeful that I feel like there is this kind of like universal or group, big understanding or uprising through the ascension wave that we're going through where people are starting to open up to this innate wisdom and come back to it and remember it and like remember it in a definite way that like this is the truth. And that feels like really exciting for me, marrying all this, even the word energy, it's a word I've understood also like from a very young age, but have never had the vocabulary for other than the word energy, And it's most of the people in my world, especially growing up, had no idea. I never could, just have conversations about it because people were not even understood. It was just a different way, different frequency. So I buried it, I buried it. So here we are in a wild time. I feel like our children are going to just be having these leaps and bounds through their childhood of like expanding and opening up, and that they're so ready and here for all that's changing. And I just want to hear sort of how you see ascension and what the world is going through and what we as humans are going through and what you're going through.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's so many ways to approach this, but I feel like it's a wave, right? And it's inevitable, right? This is a thing. And this is not something that one person doing. We're all, right? And we're all part of changing the mind field, like the frequency field of Gaia and our collectiveness. So it's here. It's happening. And I just want to celebrate the gift of the moment we're in. Like you, when we were younger, it's even 10, 15 years ago, right? There was a very real need to shift our vocabulary, right? Because so many just could not understand it. And yet so many of us have been true to that calling and to our voice that we are many now, right? And we have not only communities where we can come together like this one and have honest, authentic conversations around it, right? But even, everyday people, because of the rising in consciousness, even if they don't get it, at least there's an opening, right? And especially when you've cleared that in your own field, right? That's happening. There is definitely, I feel just like you've said, there's a clear acceleration, right, of the work that is being done personally and collectively, and it's only going to get you know, more intense and, you know, bigger leaps and bounds. And then again, this is where community and coming together and finding support so that you're not like, you know, being thrown down the river on your own makes a huge difference, right? So that we can support each other, because there are inevitably moments where it becomes, you know, feels too big or too overwhelming. But the change is real. Everything we are healing, we are healing for the seven generations that come after us. And I see that. I see, I'm sure you see it with your own son. I see it with my daughter. Like not too long ago, you liked 3D stories. My daughter had a rough day at school. I go pick her up on our bike, and we were biking back, and she was, you know, telling me of something, you know, that had caused her sadness and anger. And she was struggling with it, and there is a little lake on her way home, and we just stopped, and she took a moment, and this is all her prompt, like all her doing. She picked up a pine cone and a piece of bark, and we just sat there, and she put her tears into the pine cone, and she put her anger into the bark, and then when she was ready, she threw them into the water, she shook herself off, and then she was fine. Right. And I feel like her being part of my life and my energy work, because it's been a normal part of our life. Like she has these tools now, and she has this wisdom and this understanding of her oneness with life and of, you know, others and navigating emotions that I wouldn't have dreamed of at her age. So, yeah,
she knows she's never alone.
Yeah. And she knows she's never alone. Right. And that all of her experiences are held and valid. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. So, Catalina, what is going on for you now? What are you offering? And where can people find you?
Okay. So, you can find me on my webpage, which is www.catalinarivera.com. You can find me on Instagram as Catalina Rivera Dois, and on my bio, there's that link to offer to Moonblood to the Earth. I also offer some, you know, through my mailing list, I offer rituals for new moon and full moon if you want to start diving into your womb magic and offerings that way. I have a YouTube channel as well you can look up if you wanted to see some little offerings and, you know, videos I've done. So I feel that the best way to connect with me would be through the email list. So that's kind of what's most active at the moment. You can also book personal sessions with me if you're looking for healing sessions or mentoring in womb work. And then every year in January and August, we open the gates to our Blood Mysteries Temple for the foundational journey, which is a 7-week journey to reclaiming your sacred menstruation. And this is for any women from maidens to crones. We have a lot of wise women in our temple because our blood mysteries are, you know, are magic no matter what stage of life we are in. So you're welcome to kind of dive deeper through the temple programs to really uncover the magic of the womb and your blood, and how this can catalyze your own experience of the divine in you and your magic in the world.
Beautiful. Well, I always love talking to you and spending time with you, and I don't get to see you very much anymore, so just being with you has been so special for me, and I just loved your share and how you describe your work and you know, what it means, and I just can't thank you enough for joining me on the show today, and I wish you all the best, Catalina, and I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Oh, thank you, Robin. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I too miss having our real, like, one-on-one time in person, but thankfully, you know, technology allows for at least this level of connection. And I'm very grateful for this opportunity to not only connect with you, but with your soulful community. This is definitely a time for community and for us to come together. So all these moments where we can kind of share our experience and come together and lift each other up and are really important and crucial for all of us. It helps us remember who we are and the gifts that we bring into the world. So I just want to thank all the listeners for the unique you know, fractal of love that you are and the magic that you bring into the earth, be it that you're still discovering it or you're just gathering the courage to shine bright in your light, just know that you're not alone and that there is a world of magic that is holding you and cheering you on. Because feeling called to share this from Gaia, from our mother planet. Like, each one of us is so needed right now. And your voice, your light, your love is what is shifting things on the planet. And we do this together. Each one of us is essential in this. So I'm vowing to each listener and the love that you are anchoring onto the planet right now. So thank you. And to you, Robin, for holding this space and creating this opportunity and for all the lives that you are touching through your sacred work. May your work and all you touch be blessed. And so it is.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Catalina. I hope to talk to you again soon. And it was just such a pleasure and a gift to have you today. And to all of you, thank you so much for listening. This is My Way Om with Robin. You can find me at mywayom.com. And I work with sort of organizing our nervous system and sort of the divinity within that and bringing the fullest expression of you forward. So you can find me there, and we'll see you again next month on the radio. Bye now.